Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike Blute and Kevin Walsh in hour number two. And as I said in the previous hour, we're joined by New York Post Jets beat reporter. He also reports for WFAN locally here in New York on 101.9 FM, 660 AM. It's Brian Costello. Brian, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So obviously the Jets are in a really unique position. As my co-host Kevin Walsh was saying before, they're a real key to this draft and how it falls. But I guess I'll ask you first to kick it off with all the rumors that have swirled. What is the one thing that you can tell us with certainty, whether it's who they're taking at three or what they have to address later in the draft? What is the one thing that you feel like you know at this point?
They're taking a quarterback at number three. That's about all I know. And which quarterback, I'm not sure. You know, obviously there's been a lot said. I've heard a lot of different things. You know, I know they do like Baker Mayfield a lot. But then there's other people in the organization I've heard like Josh Rosen a lot. I've kind of been operating under the assumption basically from mid-March on that Sam Darnold was going to go number one, and if he didn't go number one, he's going to go number two. Now, recently, Josh Allen's gotten a lot of steam with the Browns, and the Giants look like they'll take Saquon Barkley. So if Darnold is there at three, I think that changes things too. So there's a lot of possibility there at three, a lot of uncertainty, but it's going to be a quarterback for sure.
So, Brian, let me ask you then, if we can kind of go back to the beginning, right? Because they were originally at six, and they made the big move to get up to three. Do you feel like, in terms of evaluating that move, it's a scenario where if they get the pick right, it's worth it. If they get it wrong, they blew it. Or can we, as it currently stands, appropriately assess the value that they got on the deal?
I think they had to do it. You know, I know if you look at trade charts and things, it might say they overpaid it to three, but they have to get a quarterback in this draft. They've been kind of building to this moment for the last 2 years, you know, when they cleaned out all the roster last year of all the older guys, expensive guys, and, you know, there was talk of tanking and all that stuff. It was all with the eyes on this Thursday. You know, that was when everybody was pointing to is, okay, this is when the Jets are going to get their quarterback. Then they went out and won five games last year and kind of complicated matters because instead of getting the number one or number two pick like we all thought they would, they had the number six pick. And then if you started looking at it, you're like, okay, well, there's four quarterbacks that everyone has rated highly in this draft, right? They could be all gone by the time you get to number six, especially with the Bills. You know, the precursor to the Jets trade was the Bills trade. The Bills moving up to 12 there, yeah. I think, kind of sparked this because then the Jets go, okay, well, now they can go from 12 to maybe like they can get to eight range or something like that. Then they can get up to three because the Colts were sitting there at three. They were the prime spot to trade out of because the Colts didn't need a quarterback. So I think the Jets were just trying to beat the Bills or somebody else to that number three pick. And that's why the trade went down as early as it did. So I think it was a smart move. You know, yeah, now they have to get the pick right. But all in all, I thought it was a smart move. They couldn't have just stayed sitting there at six and then watch all these quarterbacks come off the board. And if you look at recent history, teams that have drafted quarterbacks have traded up. You know, look at last year. Trubisky was a trade up. Watson was a trade up. Mahomes was a trade up. A couple years ago, Goff was a trade up. Wentz was a trade up, right? Like, you don't just sit and wait for a quarterback to fall to you anymore. You kind of have to go up and get these guys at the top of the draft. So the move made a lot of sense to me. And I thought the bonus was that they didn't give up their first-round pick next year.
All right, so we're with Brian Costello. You can find him on Twitter at Brian Coz. That's C-O-Z. He's a Jets beat reporter for the New York Post and WFAN locally in New York. So if I were being critical of the move, and I'm not really, but if I were to be, you could say that they haven't guaranteed themselves whomever it is, whether it's Allen or Mayfield, because to your point about the Bills, they still have a couple of picks in their back pocket. They could make some maneuvers to take the Giants pick. Whether or not that happens is to be determined.
Right.
But, you know, the Jets could be in a scenario where maybe their number one guy gets selected at two. Correct?
Correct. But I think they have three guys rated very closely here. They wouldn't have made this move if they did. You know, I think obviously they must have one rated above the others, but I think they have three guys kind of bunched together. You know, my guess right now is that it's Darnold, Mayfield, and Rosen are the three guys. That Josh Allen is the guy that they don't really like a lot, but I could be wrong on that. So, but you have these three guys together, they're going to end up with one of the three of them. I think that was the point of the trade, is they felt comfortable with any of these three guys, and they were willing to move up. And I think they don't believe the Giants are going to trade down. They didn't even call the Giants when they were trying to make this move. And part of the reason they did is they felt that Dave Gettleman does not trade down. He's never traded down in his time with the Panthers, not once. You know, so they don't think Gettleman will trade that pick. So to me, in their minds, they were thinking, you know, if the Giants could take a quarterback too, right, there. So they might end up. But I think in their minds, they believe there's going to be one quarterback taken in the first two picks, and the other pick will be, you know, the best player available.
You know, that is interesting, because I was curious if at any point they were thinking about looking to the Giants, but if they had the feeling that they weren't going to move, it makes sense. Plus, the New York trade could be difficult. Brian, I am curious for you. It is tough to kind of work your way through there. I don't think there's any consensus on this quarterback group, or just from your perspective, whether it be based on the talent that you've seen, the personality, fit, whatever it may be. Who is the quarterback that you think, if all of the four were to still be available there at three, would be the best fit for this Jets team at three?
I like Darnold a lot. I think he kind of checks all the boxes. You know, I know he had a lot of turnovers last year, but I think there was factors there that played into that probably could be coached out of him. And if he had the right supporting cast, it would help. You know, I don't think he's ready to play right away, but I think he has the highest ceiling of all these guys. And, you know, and he has a personality to deal with New York. I spent a little bit of time with him last summer. I actually went out there in August when we were all talking about the Jets having the number one pick to do a story on Darnold, because he was kind of the suck for Sam, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed with him. You know, I thought I came away very impressed. I talked to all these guys at the combine. And, you know, to me, he just has the right demeanor for New York. I don't think he'd be that phased. Playing at USC is basically like playing for a professional team. You know, I think those guys are kind of ready for what comes with the media market and that type of stuff. You know, USC is a high profile program. So to me, he's probably the best of the four as far as a fit for the Jets, in my view.
So you think if this Josh Allen to the Browns thing, the rumor that's picked up steam happens, then that's a win for the Jets.
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, I'd be curious if the Giants then stick with, you know, not taking a quarterback, which is kind of what we've been hearing for a month about them. But was that with the idea that Darnold was going to be gone? I was at Darnold's pro day, and walking away from that pro day, everyone thought, okay, he's going number one to Cleveland, because Jimmy Haslam was sitting up at the stands with his parents. You know, he had a good day throwing the rain. I think the teams were under the assumption that, okay, he's going number one, let's move on. Now, if he's thrown into the mix, it makes things interesting. And that the Giant Jet thing with Sam Darnold is going to be fascinating, because if the Giants pass on Sam Darnold and then he goes to the Jets, he becomes this great franchise quarterback that could haunt the Giants for years. You
completely.
Know?
So it's probably why they didn't want to trade, thing. Right? That's probably why they didn't want to trade with them, correct?
I think the Giants would have traded with the Jets. You know, the Jets just, they never call. The Jets did not think the Giants would trade. Now, could I see a scenario on draft night where Gettleman's sitting there at number two and he calls the Jets up and says, hey, you know, you can come up to number two. Like, if the Giants figure they're going to take Barkley and they can get him at three, you know, if they trade with the Jets, like sort of what like San Francisco did last year with Chicago, Gettleman could, you know, bluff them and say, I've got a lot of offers for number two. I might give them away. The Jets could, you know, throw them a fourth round pick, a fifth round pick, whatever it is to move up. I can see that happening on draft night. But, you know, in terms of, you know, a month ago, I think the Jets just kind of thought, A, that the Giants wouldn't be inclined to trade, and B, it would cost them a premium. It would probably cost them a first-round pick next year, where they could just move up with the Colts and not have to deal that first-round pick next year.
To be fair, though, right, with Mayfield taking a shirt off for a magazine cover, it probably locks him in as the Jets quarterback of the future. I mean, do you think he's going to end up being a fit there for them? Just personality-wise, because that's kind of, I think, one of the things that has that connection being made so much, is him going to the Jets and being in New York and thriving in that spotlight, for better or worse.
I know who the beat writers are rooting for. Just put it that way.
That's a story a day for you, Kaz.
Yeah, he'd be a lot of fun. He, you know, and you know, I don't think the Jets, I think the Jets view his personality as a good thing. I think, you know, they liked last year, they kind of said that we want to go out and get alpha dogs. We need some alpha dogs. And they felt like they got one on defense in Jamal Adams last year. Agreed. Now, in my mind, that doesn't really translate on offense. I think those guys are great on defense. The cocky, you know, swagger guys are, to be able to play defense, you kind of need that. On offense, it's a little different, especially at the quarterback position. But from what I've heard, the Jets are not turned off by his personality. They liked him. They liked him in the meetings. They think, you know, he could bring something to that locker room that they need. I'll be curious to see how it plays out if that does happen, because I've never heard a quarterback kind of talk like he talks. Other positions, sure. Wide receivers, sure. But a quarterback coming as brash as him, it's going to be interesting if he ends up in New York.
Yeah, this is Brian Costello. You can find him on Twitter at Brian Koz. Again, Jets beat reporter for the New York Post and WFAN. So regardless of who it is, do you think – I'll ask a two-part question. Do you think there's a path for that guy to start in week one? And B, do you think that the staff they have in place is one that can properly develop a QB?
The first question, you know, I think there's always a path. You know, I don't think that's what the Jets will want. Obviously, they brought back Josh McCown. They signed Teddy Bridgewater. They kind of view this as they're going to have three paths here to go down. And to me, you know, they're going to be – their hope is that they'll have one of the veterans playing week one. But that being said, you know, you look at examples like Russell Wilson in Seattle, like Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, those guys weren't supposed to play. And they just played so well in the spring and summer that they earned the job. And sure, if one of these guys comes in and lights out in these practices, Jets aren't going to force them to sit just to force them. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll play them. The second part is hard for me to answer. I don't really know. You know, Jeremy Bates – this is going to be his first year as offensive coordinator, his second year with the team. You know, he is praised by guys. I thought he did some good work last year with Josh McCown. He got a good season out of him. He's very highly respected in the building. The reason they made the change from John Morton to Jeremy Bates is partly because they thought so highly of Bates. You know, they thought he could do this. And he's gotten praise for a lot of years as a quarterback coach. So we'll see. They think he can. I'm not 100% sure whether they can develop a quarterback or not. I haven't seen them do it yet. You know, I mean, Christian Hackenberg didn't develop. Now, developing a quarterback is a tricky thing. Can you develop a guy who can't play? You know, like how much? I'm not quite sure how much development these teams actually do, or if these guys come in and they're kind of ready to play and they just kind of get polished by the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator. So, yeah, I'm not sure if they can, and we'll find out, though.
Do you think, though, because I tend to agree with you in the idea that they're probably not that they're ideal. Like, they don't want to, if the guy's good enough, he'll start. But in an ideal world, maybe they give him a year to kind of just get acclimated and learn things. They don't have to learn on the fly, if you will. Right. Is that going to then make it a little difficult to really judge the Jets' season? Obviously, we're way away from when you would have to, you know, put a grade on how the Jets would perform next year. But I do feel like everything is going to be so tied up into the quarterback that they select. And if he doesn't see the field in 16 games, which is fairly possible because he's odds are going to be the third QB on the depth chart, and they don't have a ton of other picks within this draft because of the move that they made to where you're going to be evaluating a ton of other talent. Sure, there, right. You know, Leonard Williams coming back, Jamal Adams is going to be growing, Marcus May, but could it kind of make it difficult to really judge whether this upcoming season could even be successful or a failure if that guy doesn't see the field?
Well, I don't necessarily know if he'll be a third quarterback. I think one of the two veterans will be gone by week one, okay. To be honest. I think if Teddy Bridgewater's knee is not good enough where he can't practice all spring and get in himself in the summer, the Jets will either look, you know, maybe they could trade him. You know, if there's a, you know, there's always injuries in training camp, the quarterback teams are looking. They remember, they only guaranteed him $500,000 right now. I think it'll be $1 million by the season. So they could easily, you know, cut him if they don't like him, or they could try to trade him. And, you know, if Teddy Bridgewater comes in and they're like, wow, this guy's playing great, they could look to move Josh McCown. He could be the guy that, the, you know, a team looks to add if they're – so I think it's going to – he's going to – whoever the rookie is will be the backup quarterback. If he doesn't play at all this year, that means the Jets have had a great season. Okay. So you won't have to worry about the evaluation, right? I think that means they're in the playoffs or 10-6, something like that, and you won't have to worry about it. He will play – by the end of the season if they're not playing well, in my opinion. I think, you know, if they're struggling in mid-November, they make the switch to the rookie at some point. I don't think they want to play him right away, but to me, they will play him if the season isn't going well, if the quarterback isn't playing well. And then, you might get a bump out of that if you're the coaching staff. Like, let's say that guy looks pretty good down the stretch, you know, a la Jimmy Garoppolo, something like that, where he comes in and plays really well. Then all of a sudden things are looking up for 2019, even if the record isn't great in 2018, the arrow's pointing up and, you know, there'll be some excitement around the team.
Great stuff. So Leonard Williams assigned, picked up the Jets picked up his 50-year option. Yeah. No surprise there. So real quick, one outside of QB at three, what else do they know they have to address in this draft?
They pretty much everything except safety they have to address. You know, you can make a case for everything, but to me, you know, the big ones are they need a pass rusher desperately, which is hard to get outside of the first top 10 picks. You know, usually that's hard to find, but they need one of those. And I think they need to address the offensive line. They really don't have many long-term answers on that offensive line. So that those would be the two spots I'd really be looking at in this draft later rounds.
Well, the good news is there's tackles to be had probably early, you know, in the mid rounds of this draft. So hopefully they'll be able to address that there. Brian, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it. That's Brian Costello at Brian Cos on Twitter, Jets beat reporter for the Post and WFAN. Brian, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We'll come back. We'll ruminate on all that Jets talk. We'll talk about more issues related to the draft. It's Mike and Kevin on FST. We're back on Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.